You know, when you visit any city, any place, anywhere, if you are interested in food or the history or anything about that particular place, the best thing you could do is get your hands on a local. Here in Savannah, when it comes to food, I am a local, obviously, and I like to guide people to different places to eat and all that good stuff. Been doing it for a minute. But one of my good friends has also been doing something similar for a long time. And I thought, you know, I'm going to invite Inika here to discuss her points of view about Savannah's history, haunted and otherwise, what she likes to eat and like and not eat and not like. I guess we won't get into negative. But that's a long enough introduction. Good morning, Inika Edenfield. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
You were telling me in Savannah for 14 years.
Nearly 14.
You and I met in the television news business.
We did.
Once upon a moon. Is that what brought you to Savannah?
Yeah. So I'm originally from the Florida Panhandle. Grew up in one of those
small
towns.
Shout out Bluntstown.
Yeah. Small town, middle of nowhere, yeah. Florida. But I started working in broadcast news at WMBB in Panama City. And one of my friends, who is a reporter, got a job up here at WSAV. When my contract was coming up in Panama City, she said, hey, I think you should apply. They're looking for producers up here. I think you'd really like Savannah. And weirdly enough, I'd never been up here. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'm applying to a bunch of places. Why not? Applied, got a job interview, came up here, immediately fell in love with the city. Just that drive down Victory.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I have to move here. Even if I don't get the job, I have to move here.
Yeah.
But I did end up getting the job, and Savannah hasn't been able to get rid of me since.
That's a story that is repeated so, so many times.
Mm-hmm.
This place is pretty magical like that. So you move here. You get the job at WSAV. That's where we met once upon a long time ago. We have many common friends. But eventually, as most of us tend to do, we've left the business.
Yeah.
The television news business. And we've all gone on to do our own things. My thing is food. You, a handful of years ago, started your own tour company, correct?
Yes. So with the pandemic shutdown, I was in the process of leaving WSAV to go to another job here in town because my contract was ending there. Pandemic shutdown hit. That job went away. So like so many other people in 2020, I had to pivot. I started creating content, mostly on TikTok at the time, about Savannah's weird history and ghosts, and that kind of blew up. So once things started opening up again, people started asking for tours, and I was like, oh, guess we're doing this now.
So the plan wasn't a tour, it just kind of happened.
It just happened.
That's awesome. Did you realize once you kind of, because I remember when you first started, you were posting like little facts and just little things you may not have known about. It was very, very simplistic, if I remember, but fascinating. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the posts and reading about it going, oh, I didn't know that about whatever. That's very interesting. Did you realize once you really started, once it became business, that there was so much about this city and its haunted history that you did not know?
Savannah has so many layers to its history. There's no way I'm ever going to learn all of it.
Yeah.
I am constantly learning new things, and there's new aspects to it because there's not history. We like to think of it as like a linear thing, like everything happens in a row.
Right.
No, right. Multiple things are all happening all at the same time.
Correct.
And then you also have different perspectives.
Right.
Because we were a British colony. We talk about General Oglethorpe, the founder of the colony. We talk about him from the English perspective. 2.5 hours down the road, we've got St. Augustine.
Right.
And they also talk about Oglethorpe,
right.
But they talk about him from the Spanish perspective because he invaded St. Augustine twice.
Correct. It's all in how I guess it all in how you look at it,
mm-hmm.
from this side or that side. No, I get all that. So I agree. You said it. There's so many layers, and everything isn't lined up like Lincoln Logs down the road. It's so many things happening at one time. It's rich. It's what's the word? Colorful.
Yeah,
I think is a fair word. There, it's, you know, I think you know this about me. It's one of my favorite things about this city is a history. I mean, the number of times where I've driven around and gone, oh, I didn't know that Revolutionary War plaque was there.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Or I've read, you know, articles and or books where, you know, the front line was where Pinky Masters was now. I mean, I'm being silly, but I actually lived on Huntington Street over by Johnny Ganem's liquor store once upon a time when we first came back to Savannah. And I read something back then that the French front line during the during some war, I believe it was French, was along what is now Huntington Street. And I found that fascinating because that's where at the time I was living. I'm like, man, this town is just amazing when it comes to all of this history. What would you say, Haunted aside, let's leave Haunted over there for a minute because we'll get into that. The thing that people find most fascinating and you are asked most about Savannah's history?
Oh, that's a good question. Because it depends because I do mostly private tours.
Right.
So everybody who books me for a tour usually already has an idea of, you know, what I talk about, the content I create. So they come in with their own personal interests. So some people do ask about Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yeah.
Some people have no idea about Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
That blows my mind, but I get it.
I'm like, that's the
coming
book.
To Broadway 2025, by the way.
I know.
Yeah.
And some people, a lot of people ask about the Civil War, and I'm like, meh, Civil War history is meh here.
The War of Northern Aggression. I would think that, you know, General Sherman saving Savannah and presenting it to President Lincoln as a Christmas gift gets brought up.
It does, and there's a lot of misunderstandings around that because, you know, we're a tourist town. You've got to entertain the tourists, and not every tourist wants to hear about history. They just want, like, fun little legends along the way, which, fine, you're on vacation. Do whatever makes you happy. Mm-hmm.
And give me a beer.
Yeah. So a lot of legends have sprung up around that, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, Sherman marched into Savannah, and he was so overcome with how beautiful the architecture was, he couldn't burn it down. I'm like, that man didn't give two hoots about architecture. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then other people said that he had a girlfriend here. I'm like, they've got that same legend in Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
he was a player.
The reality is—
Sherman got around.
The reality is we surrendered. And the truth behind that is way cooler because the mayor was a guy named Dr. Richard Arnold, who is an actual medical doctor, as well as being the mayor of Savannah. He was one of the doctors over at what is now Candler. And he—
Candler in the park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't called Candler back then, but
Candler. That one. At the foot of Forsyth Park, for those of you who are listening to this and want to come read this hospital. It's not a hospital anymore, but the building is still there at the southern end of Forsyth Park. If you go around the park, you'll see it there.
So. I think it's called, SCAD owns it now. I think it's called Deloitte Foundry. It takes me a while to remember that name because I just think of it as the old Candler.
So you're talking about the one where the Candler Oak is?
Yes.
Not the one on the south
end? No, that's
the
Mary Tell Fair.
Correct. Okay, so we're talking on Whitaker Street near Gaston.
Yeah. Okay. So he was a doctor there.
Gotcha.
Which is also important for a second. But first, get back to the Civil War. So he knows that the Confederates who were here just peaced out. They left. They went to South Carolina. And he was like, if we don't do something, Sherman's probably just going to burn down Savannah.
Right.
So let's ride out to meet him and apologize profusely and hope to God he doesn't burn down Savannah. Mm-hmm. And so basically that's what they did. They were like, hey, guys, we're just in a silly, goofy mood. Changed our minds. Love to rejoin the Union. Please don't burn down our city. And that's what saved Savannah. And Dr. Richard Arnold would also go on to save Savannah again during the 1876 yellow fever epidemic because he figured out probably had something to do with the swamps. Didn't know it was caused by mosquitoes.
Right.
But knew it had something to do with that, and so he recommended draining the swamps closest to the city.
Interesting. Yeah, General Sherman was also offered a place to live there on not Monterey Square.
Madison.
Madison Square, just off of Liberty Street. And this red carpet was rolled out, and so it made it easy for him to say, okay, we're at the coast, let's regroup, let's not burn this stuff down, let's go to, you know— get an omelet somewhere and chill out for a minute.
Yeah. Get you some Chatham Artillery Punch.
Yes, yes, which very few places carry anymore, but that's a whole other episode. Clearly, you are well-versed about this history. We could talk here for 45 minutes because I love it as well. And it's, you know, I didn't know, you know, about the doctor and being at Candler Hospital, which you had another story. Tell us about that.
Well, that was his other connection, that he saved Savannah twice during the Civil War and also during the yellow fever epidemic.
Wow. So, yeah, we could talk for 45 minutes about Savannah's history, but this is a food-centric podcast. Before we get to the food and your favorite places to eat and where you like to send people, do you have a favorite ghost story? Well, let me back up.
Okay.
I cannot ask you if you believe in ghosts or not, because I'm guessing you do. Mm-hmm. Based on your content and all that stuff. I do as well. I could tell stories that blow my mind, and I believe them to be true, including standing out in the hallway and the shower goes on in the bathroom of the hotel room, like, oh, okay. Do you have a favorite story?
So there's one that I don't get to tell on my tours just because it's not on my tour route, but this will be important to our connection.
Yeah.
So WSAV is haunted.
Yeah.
When I worked there, I worked the overnight shift. I worked midnight to like 8 or 9 in the morning. I helped put together Coastal Sunrise, the morning newscast.
For reference, WSAV is a local television station, the NBC. It is not in the historic district. It's out right across the street from the second oldest baseball stadium in America, which is Grayson Stadium. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of midtown-ish, if you will, for us. But it is not downtown, so don't go looking for it. So you're there overnight, and
yeah. So when I first started, I was the only person there until like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Right.
And you know, you're alone in an old building that was built in like the 50s and 60s.
Right.
And you hear things.
Right.
And you just try to play that off. And you're like, well, it's a building full of TVs. You know, maybe somebody left the volume up a little bit on a TV. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Or maybe it's rats. Who knows? Well, eventually our crew started to grow. And so more people were there with me overnight. And they started hearing things. And I'm like, okay, not just me. We're all hearing it. And it became a joke, like, oh, yeah, it's just a station ghost. Oh, you heard footsteps down the lobby, just a station ghost. It's fine. I had one co-producer who refused to go use the ladies' restroom down in the lobby by herself because she was terrified she was going to run into this ghost.
Yeah.
So she always had to have a bathroom buddy. And one day, we were in the middle of the 6 a.m. newscast. We were in a commercial break. We've got all the monitors up. We can see where all the anchors are. And both me and my director at the time saw someone run in front of one of the cameras. Now, we've worked in the business long enough. We know what it looks like when someone accidentally runs in front of a camera.
Sure.
Quick flash. And this person clearly was like up on top of the camera.
Right.
So it was a quick flash of brown. I look back at him. He looks at me. We both saw it. I get on the headset and I'm talking to our teleprompter operator. His headset is hardwired into a desk. He can't move around. I said, Mike, did anyone else walk into the studio? He said, no. I can see the anchors on camera.
Right.
I hear Mike. I look back at my director. He was like, yeah. Yeah, that was a ghost.
Alrighty then.
Station ghost wasn't so much of a joke anymore after that.
Yeah, no, I worked there for 4 years the first time, and I think 2.5 the second time, and I had heard people talking about, oh, this place is haunted, but I never heard anything that specific like that. That's crazy. Any that you love from a local restaurant?
Oh, yeah. So Husk.
Yeah.
Over
right.
off of Oglethorpe.
And Bull, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I first moved here, that building did not look that nice.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It had no roof. It was a disaster.
Oh, yeah. It looked proper spooky.
Yeah.
And so a lot of ghost tours would go by there because you got this cool, spooky-looking building on a ghost tour route. Absolutely, they're going to stop by there. And they would tell all these legends about how, you know, there was a doctor who lived here with his family during one of our yellow fever epidemics, and his family died, and he blamed himself, so he walled himself up in his bedroom, and he starved himself to death. Very dramatic. And, you know, reports of shadow figures, and of course there's always got to be a demon, because why not? And after Husk purchased it and did a beautiful job renovating it. It looks amazing now. I went in. I'd heard all the stories. I'd looked into the history. The history didn't match up. There was no doctor who lived there. That home was built in the 1890s, right, which is after our last yellow fever epidemic. And it was actually owned by a guy named Bernie Gordon, who is related to Julia Gordon Lowe, the founder of the Girl Scouts.
Right across the street.
Yeah. So he purchased that home for his family. His wife ends up dying a few years later. He sells the home. He moves off to Canada. And then it was an Elks Lodge and then a Montessori school.
Yeah.
And then it was abandoned.
YMCA for a minute, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I think it was for a quick little.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
60s. Yeah, it was a YMCA. Yeah, that building, if you go eat at Husk, it's one of our better fine dining restaurants in Savannah. Mm-hmm. There are pictures up on the wall on the second floor as you come into the bar of what it used to look like.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see these pictures on the wall, and then you walk into this bar, which I said it when it opened, it was the most beautiful bar between Charleston and Jacksonville. We've got some pretty nice ones now, but that bar at Husk is top three for me still. Mm-hmm. That space is spectacular. So yeah, I've heard, I'm sure you've heard more than me, but I've heard crazy stories about circa 1875. Obviously Moon River, which is currently closed, and hopefully they'll do something wonderful with that. You know what I think they should do with that?
What?
You and I have not spoken about this. It used to be a hotel,
right,
as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Moon River Brewing Company, which was, and I say was because it has closed, so incredibly popular there on Bay Street with their beer garden and everything. Remake it a little haunted themed boutique hotel.
I think that'd be perfect.
That would be, oh my goodness. I don't know that I'd want to stay there because the stories that I've heard coming out of that place, and I'm sure you have as well, you know, there are plenty of sources where you can find online here in-depth stories about Moon River. We don't need to get into it here, but that place, Chart House, I've heard about things flying off the storage closet shelves and all kinds of craziness as it pertains to haunted. Operate a tour, and I would think obviously this time of the year as we record this, going into the fall, you start getting really busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do people want to hear generic haunted history, or do you find that people want to know more about that building, this building, what happened there, who died, who jumped out of that window, kind of stuff?
So a lot of times when people book me for a tour, I do ask, like, do you have any special requests when it comes to history,
right,
or ghost stories? Because if you want to know more about Alice Riley, the first woman found guilty of murder in Colonial Georgia, I can talk about that. I can talk about that for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know more about the history of Madison Square, I can go off on that for a long time. Some people request Civil War history.
Right.
Because that's really popular.
Yeah.
And then most often people are like, no, we don't care. Just tell us whatever.
Interesting. So do you do specific haunted tours, or do you get requests for haunted year-round? How much of what you do tour-wise is requested to be haunted stories?
Most of it. So I do offer just straight up history tours.
Right, right. That's why I hear you saying I could talk about this square, that square, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so most of what you get requested for is haunted tours.
Mm-hmm. And it works out well because, especially in a lot of families, you'll have one or two people who are really interested in ghosts, and the rest are like, no, I don't care about ghosts.
Yeah.
But, you know, the history is interesting.
Yeah.
And so there's a little something for everybody.
Yeah, not everybody believes.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Do you think that young lady, did she jump out the window, the 1790 Inn? Is that what happened up there?
No.
Is she still up there in that window?
Oh, yeah. She's still up there. But I tell my tourists when I bring them by, I'm like, you're going to hear a lot of different legends.
Yes.
About her.
Yes.
Anna at the 1790. None of them are true.
Yes.
We don't know who she is. Anna's probably not even her real name.
But you know what? We're talking about it.
Yep. But there is a ghost there.
Oh, I believe that.
And she does go by the name Anna now.
I believe that. Miley Cyrus stayed there a few times in what was apparently Anna's room.
Mm-hmm.
When she was here shooting that movie 100 years ago.
The Last Song.
The Last Song out on Tybee Island. Yeah, she not famously because we didn't know about it till after the fact, but she came into town and stayed there a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. So food, do you get asked to do food tours?
No, but usually when people are like, hey, what's some good restaurants?
Yeah.
Every time somebody asks, my brain just goes blank, and I'm like, I've never eaten at a restaurant ever in my life. Why are you asking me this? And normally I tell them to go to you. I'm like, just go to eat and like it.
I same thing with me. People, hey, I got three friends in town. One's a vegetarian. Where should we go? I'm like, what do you want me to, you know? It's like, you put me on the spot like this. I have no idea. Hold on. Let me reference my website. No, I get it. But is it people are coming to you because you share foodie content or because you just happen to be the tour person, you're clearly local, and they want your spin on where you like to go eat?
Yeah, it's usually just because I live here.
Right.
And they're like, well, clearly you have to eat at some point.
Right.
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Well, I always tell people when they ask me, I am a person of repetition.
Yeah.
And so I tend to go to the same places.
We kind of all are.
Yeah. Some people are more adventurous, and they like to go peruse the menu and try new things, and I'm not one of those people. I go to the same places. I order the same things almost every single time, and I'm totally happy with them. So I really like Sixpence.
Yeah.
I know that's a little bit more touristy.
Nah, that's local for me.
I really like that place. It always feels very homey.
Sixpence Pub is on Bull Street near Liberty. It's been there forever. I went there the night my daughter was born, November 23rd, 2001, and everybody knew my wife was pregnant, so I walked in there. She was in the hospital, and I walked into Sixpence, saw a few of the friends. It was like, cheers. Hey, Sheila had the baby. Oh, let me buy you a drink. I closed the place and practically crawled along Liberty Street home. Oof, that was legendary. But yeah, Sixpence Pub is a great, like you said, it skews a little touristy, but don't get it twisted. It's still a local spot.
And they have a really good roasted pepper soup. I can't eat tomatoes anymore.
That is actually good. I haven't had it forever, but that is good.
And that's like, it's a good like alternative to a tomato soup. Because sometimes, especially in the winter, you're just like, I just want a good bowl of tomato soup. But roasted red pepper, also really good.
Where else do you like to go?
I also really like going to Finch's. Over in Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
They have tater tots that are sprinkled with Old Bay seasoning.
Oh, boy.
Not something I would have thought to do.
No.
But it is so good.
Interesting.
I tell people all the time, if you haven't tried that yet and you've been here for a while, you're not living your life right.
Wow. I've never had them. I love, they have one of
You're not living right.
Finch's has one of the best grilled cheese sandwiches in the city. That is fact. And you can add avocado, you can add ham, you can add whatever. Get their straight-up grilled cheese. It is over-the-top great. All right, we got time for one more. Where else do you like to go?
Well, I used to like to go to Moon River, but it's gone now. But I also really like going to Ben's.
Ben's out of Midtown.
Yeah.
Ben's is not in the historic district, if you're looking. It's about 10-minute, 12-minute drive out. Yeah.
But that's where I take some of my friends who move here. And, you know, you fall in love with the historic district. A lot of great restaurants down here.
Right.
Absolutely. Check them out.
Yes.
But then also explore some things outside of downtown.
Sure.
And Ben's is one of my go-to places to take them.
Yeah, I talk about all that all the time in my books, Amanda Food Crawls. Obviously, it was 15 walkabouts here in the historic district. But I had an appendix worth a drive, and they only wanted 8, but I had 12. And I'm like, can we do 10? And I think they allowed me 9. I think Ben's was in there. Desposito's was in there. Rocky's and Sandfly was in there. The Wild was in there. There's so many outside of downtown that Tybee, I put a couple in Tybee out at our beach in there. There are quite a bit. One or two, just give us names and a favorite dish if you have them that you like to go to when you are down here, downtown.
Downtown? Fancy Parker's after my tours.
Fancy Parker's rocks, gas station, convenient food, convenience store food, but it's high end, if you will, and hot bar 24 hours a day.
I love that breakfast bowl, especially if I've had a night where it's just like tour, tour, tour.
Yeah. And they have a few picnic tables outside if you want to sit down and make it a romantic evening. And where else?
And the Indian place over on Broughton.
Naan does a good job. Naan does a good job.
So good. I really like their butter chicken and just their naan bread. I mean, it's in their name.
Right.
The naan's got to be good.
It's got to be good. Yeah, that butter chicken actually is one of my favorite dishes there. I agree with you. That is fabulous. N-A-A-N if you're scoring at home. You like where Savannah is right now? I know a lot of people get discouraged by the amount of hotels and development and everything that's happening here. Do you like where we are?
I think we are at a turning point, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Savannah's had a lot of turning points over the years. We've had a lot of booms and busts.
Right.
Right now, I think we're in a boom. Hopefully when the bus does come, it won't be detrimental.
Yeah.
It'll just be a slowing down of things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, especially with the amount of Airbnbs that we've had, you got to have a bunch of hotels.
Yeah, correct.
To help kind of usher those out and into hotels.
Correct.
Because it did break my heart watching that turn downtown from more residential to Airbnbs.
Yes. Yes. I you know where I live here downtown, and my block, can't say almost exclusively, it's 60% residents, 40% Airbnb. And so you see, used to see SCAD students getting home at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And now at night it's quiet, but at 7 in the morning you're seeing the yuppie, for lack of a better word, couple with their coffee walking in yoga pants and a dog or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here on vacation from wherever it is that they came from. A lot of North Carolina plates on my block this week.
Yeah,
because of the, everybody's getting out of Dodge with Hurricane Helene. How can we find you? Tour with you, go have some soup with you. Where do we find Enika Edenfield?
You can go to my website, enikaedenfieldtours.com. You can follow me on TikTok at Salt Waves Spanish Moss and on Instagram at Eni Edenfield.
So, Salt Waves Spanish Moss, all one word?
Yes.
Wow.
I was going to make a blog when I left WSAV.
Right.
That ended up evolving into the tours instead. Uh-huh. And there was already a company that uses Spanish Moss in their name. And I was like, I don't want to get confused with them. So none of my handles match anything.
Yeah. You're a brander's nightmare, but if it's working, it's working. continued success to you. It's always good to see you.
Good to see you.
I watch what you're doing. I like what you're doing. It's like, you know what? She's having fun. I see you out there doing tours in the rain, all kinds of crazy stuff. But hey, if it works, it works. And if you're having fun, which it sounds like you are, beats working for a living, right?
It's nice to work for yourself.
Yes. I don't know that I could go back to working for anyone else.
Oh, my God, no.
I would cut a bitch. I just couldn't do it.
I certainly couldn't do overnights anymore.
No, not with ghosts. All right, I think that's as good a place as anything to get out of here. Enika, thank you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.